This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
You're listening to the Nerdcast.
I feel like I should say something smart.
With Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger, darling.
Only on Project Nerd.
That is one big pile of shit.
I'm gonna start recording while you're telling me about all the fun times in Hollywood.
We did. And it was good, man. I don't know. I liked it.
I like it too.
Like, I don't need a second viewing, I don't think. Like, and we were kind of talking about it on the way home. Like, I think the thing for Tarantino is he's an amazing storyteller. If you get past the fact that his stories don't have a point, right?
Right. That's, I think, like, that's what I was trying to get at when I was saying, I think, what was that, episode 200 or 199?
Yeah. Talking about, we were a little ways back there. Yeah. And it, you know, it really sticks out with this one because, like, I mean, can we spoiler this movie? I feel like it's been out for a long time.
So we're talking, let's introduce ourselves first, I guess, before we just run straight into a spoiler. It is the Nerdcast episode 203, now brought to you by Geek Garage. That's right, Geek Garage, where the best geek-themed vehicles live. Visit Geek Garage at geek-garage.com. They're big into the hyphen, just like we are. Love those guys already. They're already some of my favorites. But we're rolling in on episode 203. It's Adam and myself, Iggy, and we're talking Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So again, reference, I think it's episode 199. You can go back and get my spoiler-free feedback on it because Adam hadn't seen it yet. Now Adam has seen it now. So we're going to get a little spoilery here now that both of us have seen it. So just a heads up, if you haven't seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, maybe fast forward about 5-10 minutes here.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, we'll just get it out of the way. So for, what is it, 90% of the movie, maybe more, maybe 95% for most of the movie, you're getting a tangential story telling the Sharon Tate murders, right? The Manson family, hullabaloo there in the late '60s. And, you know, they're introducing all the Manson family people, and you're getting them, and you're getting Leo and Brad.
Well, even leading into with the trailers, you're made very aware with the synopsis trailer that Leo and Brad's characters are neighbors to Sharon Tate.
Right, they're neighbors to Sharon Tate. Yep. And, okay, well, if Sharon Tate's in a movie that's, you know, taking real life and, you know, a real life telling essentially of Hollywood, it's going to be about the Manson family murders. So you got that whole thing going, and then 10 minutes later, Tarantino just hard right. Just takes a hard damn right, and the Manson family doesn't go after them, but doesn't go after Tate, but comes after him and Brad, and it's fantastic. And
does not end well for the Manson people.
Oh my gosh, is everybody okay? Well, no, not the hippies. They're not okay. I was rolling, but I mean, you make it through an entire Quentin Tarantino movie, and here in the UK, it said strong violence. And I'm like, yeah, Tarantino, of course there's going to be strong violence. And you watch the whole movie and there's no strong violence. And then all of a sudden, like, man, they go big and they go hard, and it's fantastic. But, you know, that really struck me when we were leaving. We were talking about how Tarantino is so different and so good. And it was like, well, I mean, he told a story without telling that story. And it's perfect. I think it's absolutely perfect. And it does just a really, really good job.
So who was better in your mind, Pitt or DiCaprio?
In the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, Pitt.
Brad Pitt was, his character was fantastic.
Absolutely fantastic, yeah.
And now do you get where I was trying to say, so I know Bruce Lee's daughter specifically, but some of his family got upset with the mocking of Bruce Lee, as they were saying. But now do you, when I was trying to, without spoiling it, explaining, like, well, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't real. It wasn't I don't feel like it was a big deal because it was all now, again, spoilers are here, that it was basically a fantasy of Brad Pitt's character. So this Bruce Lee persona was all in his mind. It wasn't like who Bruce Lee really supposedly was, too. Right. So I thought it added to the scene very much.
Yeah, and I read a piece afterwards that was actually written. The writer had actually interviewed. There was a stuntman in Hollywood who got into a fight like that with Bruce Lee. And He was, you know, fully trained in jiu-jitsu and actually had, you know, gone overseas. And I don't know where you train with jiu-jitsu. I don't watch mixed martial arts, but went over, you know, had real bona fides with jiu-jitsu and beat Bruce Lee because he, you know, knew holds and grappling and all that kind of stuff. And that wasn't part of the traditional kung fu that Bruce Lee knew. And they formed a friendship. And, you know, Bruce Lee went and, you know, learned what he could from this guy about arm bars and all that kind of stuff. And they were friends for a long time. And so, you know, kind of playing on that, I feel even a little bit better about the whole situation that something like that did happen. And then you get to the end of the movie and you see that all of this is about a Hollywood that didn't really exist. And so it's like, okay, yeah.
It's all exaggerated. That's what Tarantino right. does. He takes pieces of truth in history, really since Inglourious Bastards, and kind of just litters it with his own imagination.
And how deliciously meta that in his movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood stars an actor who starred in a film about killing Nazis and does so with a flamethrower.
Right.
Like, I mean, you get the whole, like, I was like, that's it. He made Inglourious Bastards inside of this other movie and called it something different.
I want to see some of those fake movies that are in this movie, though. That's what's God, the yeah. big thing there.
Yeah.
So that was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. What else have you seen lately? I watched Booksmart this past weekend. Finally. Oh, I wanted to see it in theaters because it looked good.
Yeah.
But more importantly is what we were hearing about it, especially if you head over to projectnerd.com, check out the review for it. Nick, one of our movie reviewers who gets early access to a lot of these things, loved it, praised it, talked about it being one of the funniest things of the year. He also found Long Shot to be very funny, which I found it to be very funny too, surprisingly hilarious. So I was like, okay, I want to give this a shot because, you know, I'm starting to trust Nick's taste a little bit. I was almost on the floor, rolling, laughing. It is the funniest thing I have seen in years, like years. And I'm also, while I'm contemplating this, is it the funniest thing I've seen in years? Because we are so bombarded with content now. My list of what I need to watch right now is ridiculous. And so I'm like, I've had to see something funny that I may just have forgotten. But I'm like, I don't feel like you forget something that funny over the past few years. And Booksmart was everything super bad and better. And it was better. And the part of it is super bad had the typical movie tropes of the boys are more charming than they really are. This stuff really doesn't happen in high school, even though we pretend it does. There's not really this much pressure on these types of things, you know, but they always put it in the movies like it right. is. Booksmart was just like scary accurate on the reality of high school, starting with the opening scene of when her friend comes to pick her up and, you know, they're playing the intro music and it's this rap beat and she's dancing down to the car and her friend gets out of the car and starts dancing and it cuts to another angle and you realize we're the only ones hearing the music. So it's just the two of them dancing like in the street with no music. It's like, that's how you awkwardly were with your high school friends,
right?
And it's just fantastic, down to the teachers being awkward, the teachers not having money to afford to live anymore. So highly, highly recommend. I think any time now, maybe this Tuesday is when it hits Blu-ray DVD. So I think it's out on digital already, obviously. I streamed it online. But I want to say it's either this Tuesday or the next that it finally comes out on physical format as well, at least here in the States. I know you have a little bit different of a schedule over there, Adam. So
yeah, I buy physical media anyway, so it's
that's,
fine.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. I could not recommend this enough. I am upset that I've had such a busy weekend, though. I haven't started Netflix's Dark Crystal.
Me either. You're safe.
So
went on a movie wise, went on a weird trip this week. Saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Also saw Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
What'd you think of that? I heard a weaker third act, I guess would be the way to put it.
It's a high school horror movie. Like kids, I don't know what people are expecting, right? Yeah, like it, you know. I will tell you that the Del Toro monsters are just right on par again.
Go for to see that alone, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly what you want. Like just creepy enough to kind of not fully follow you home, not like Pan's Labyrinth level, or even, again, the wife and I were talking about on the way home, like The Ring followed me home. but good, enjoyable. Definitely give it a watch. And then, so we saw those two movies and then watched some just ridiculous comedies, some that we had seen before, others that we hadn't. There's An Evening with Beverly Loughlin on Netflix. Very, very bizarre. Aubrey Plaza. There's so many people in that movie. Jermaine Clement, Craig Robinson.
I'm already bought in. Well, I'm bought in at Aubrey Plaza, but I mean, dude, the rest.
The cast is ridiculous. The movie is bizarre, and it's got some humorous moments. But just imagine, I mean, like you attach Jermaine Clement to something, and he brings that just that weird energy. Really, so we enjoyed that. Watched also Safety Not Guaranteed, also with Aubrey Plaza.
That's a good one.
Yeah, enjoyed that. So we had a kind of an Aubrey Plaza night one night, and then
no problems there.
No, it's amazing. Watched Game Over Man, Netflix movie with the Workaholics guys.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, I saw it. Like, wait, that's been out for like a couple years. It's been out
for a really long time. Yeah, I know. And it's one of those movies when I saw it and I'm like, there's just no way. Like, I love Workaholics, but like half hour for that kind of comedy is
right. Perfect, I think. I was not expecting much from it.
I laughed through the whole damn thing. Yeah. Like it was just on in the background while I was doing something else. And I just caught myself laughing and laughing and laughing. And Laura's like, we should go eat dinner. I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop this. We're going to watch this when we get back. So we went, Nate came back and watched that, watched Office Christmas Party and Horrible Bosses.
So I haven't seen Office Christmas Party. Was that your first time to see Horrible Bosses?
It is my first time seeing Horrible Bosses. Yeah, I know.
You're playing catch up with some good stuff here.
I know. It was legit. That's what I mean. We had a really kind of interesting movie ride this week. And a lot of it is older stuff. I think the newest thing in there is obviously what we saw in the theaters. But the newest thing other than that is probably The Evening with Beverly Loughlin. I think that came out late last year.
Yeah. I haven't seen an Office Christmas Party, although I hear it's definitely got its like comical moments for sure is what I hear. I mean,
it's exactly what you would want it to be.
Yeah.
It's a super bad, but with adults instead of kids.
Right. See,
like, I mean, you got TJ Miller, you got Jason Bateman, you got Olivia Munn. God, the list goes on Dope Pender's in it. Like, I mean, there's just so many people in that movie and it's really quite good. Jennifer Aniston. We tied a bunch of movies together watching stuff. So Dope Pender's in, I need to learn his name, the actor's name. But Defender from Deadpool is in Game Over Man and Office Christmas Party. Jennifer Aniston and Jason Bateman are both in Office Christmas Party and Horrible Bosses. And so we had, you know, like all sorts of people and all sorts
Seven degrees to.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was fantastic. Right.
So while we were catching up on that stuff, the box office had a, I'd say typical at this point, Labor Day weekend. Labor Day weekend seems to be not the huge one. However, can you answer this for me? Angel Has Fallen is going to get number one at the box office two weekends in a row. Like, I completely missed it last weekend because we were doing Colorado Springs Comic Con, which we'll recap some of that here later, as well as D23, which was last weekend, which Project Nerd covered extensively. So again, projectnerd.com got all that coverage for you. While we're doing that, Angel Has Fallen, the third movie of the Gerard Butler, like Olympus Has Fallen. And the concept of this one is, so he's Angel because he's the guardian angel of the president, right? Mm-hmm. He's framed now for trying to kill the president. So now it's turned into, instead of like a terrorist style, like it's basically The Fugitive, right? Like it's The Fugitive again, which I don't know. I probably couldn't count the amount of times we've seen basically The Fugitive again, let alone as a third movie in a series that I didn't even realize would make it to three movies. Like, this is bizarre. But I think it's going to finish with about 14, which is very low, $14 million over the extended holiday weekend.
So it's winning by default, not really by, because of anything it's doing, just like
that's there's fair.
Nothing else out there.
That's fair. Come out at the very end of August knowing nothing is coming until these other movies get done with their, you know, film festival season and start hitting theaters late.
And if it's the third in a series, there must be a group of people that goes and sees it.
Yeah, I mean, action movies aren't cheap. So there's has to be a reason for whoever's
found a way to make it for about $30 million.
I mean, that's still $30 million. I'll take $30 million. But What's also interesting about the box office is Good Boys Again, which Bob did see. He said it was pretty funny when I was talking with him last weekend at Colorado Springs Comic Con, and is number two again, which so it had 2 weeks at number one and now 2 weeks at number two. So that's a decent run for Universal to finish out, because they also had Hobbs and Shaw with some number ones there in August. Hobbs and Shaw fell fast, though. Not a lot of people excited for that one afterwards, as we found out. And then what I found the most interesting about the box office is your early July release of The Lion King is number three at the box office this weekend. So The Lion King, number three, passing domestically $500 million this weekend.
Had some legs.
Yeah.
Look at that. Good job, Disney.
Good. Yeah. Which also funny, because yesterday I was at a birthday party and we were talking about of the Disney remakes. People weren't, the group I was talking to at least, weren't high on the Lion King one, mostly because it's not live action. It's an animated, almost scene for scene, the same movie of the last one. So it's unnecessary, I guess, is what people are having a lot of problems with. But it's still, I mean, I think you could, any of these movies that were popular for Disney, you can put them right back out there and they're getting the money.
So I looked at some numbers this weekend just because I was curious. We were talking highest grossing Quentin Tarantino movies in the theaters and stuff like that. And four of the five highest grossing movies this year are Disney properties. And you got Star Wars down the line, so you probably give them the top five. I would say it's probably easy that Star Wars makes it in there. And like five of the top 10, and then Spider-Man is also in the top 10. So Disney gets a slice of that pie as well. So, I mean, good God, we talked about it last year that 2019 was going to be the year of Disney. And I think,
well, if we looked correctly, when at the beginning of the year, when they acquired Fox, Tyler went back while we were recording and counted, he looked at what was nominated for the Academy Awards. And they had, I think, then representation in every category, right? I think it was at that point. I think it was like 40% of the representation or something like that. Ridiculous. We were shocked because the box office number was actually a little lower than we expected in terms of global box office haul. I want to say it was close to 30% or something like that. And we were saying this would probably be the year that they would just skyrocket above 50%. The Fox acquisition probably has helped. Yeah, I'll be interested. I think in December we should set aside some time for one of our later Nerdcasts to really break all that down.
Dig out how much money they're making.
Yeah, because I truly think it's going to be, I think we're going to be right on that over 50% mark. It's ridiculous right now.
It's crazy.
Between the three, and we haven't even hit Frozen 2 yet, which is building massive steam right now. It's early looks at it are like, oh, Frozen was crammed down our throats, so people weren't super excited. And then they remember, oh yeah, actually Frozen was a really well-written movie, and now the second one's really written, and now we're also going to have, you know, about the sexual orientation thing with Elsa and all this stuff that's going to be an empowering thing in a kids movie, which is, you know, newer stuff too, which I think is going to drive people there. And then obviously December's huge release of Star Wars Episode 9. Yeah, they're not finished yet, and I think they still have what was the one that you named a funny name, the live action book adaptation that they're doing that comes out in the next month or two.
Oh yeah, Avalon Birds.
Right, Avalon Birds.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Artemis Fowl.
Right, that one. That one's still going to come out, and even though it won't destroy like some of the other ones, that's going to still be more money. That's still going to be more money. And let's be honest, these YA adaptations usually do pretty decent at the box office. Ever since really the Hunger Games and Harry Potter like just tore through it. So, yeah, Disney's golly, talk about it. So. And speaking of that, we'll get into D23 in a little bit because some huge news that came out of D23 this past weekend. But I wanted to cover a couple movie trailers first. We both, just before we started, watched the Terminator Dark Fate trailer.
Yes.
I think you could see my expressions when you're watching because we were already connected on here and you were like, oh, it's exactly, I think you said, was it exactly what it's supposed to be?
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, so you get James Cameron back involved, you get Linda Hamilton back involved, you got Arnold back involved. And they are making a weird synthesis of Terminator and Terminator 2 Judgment Day. Like, that's really what it feels like. You get the going back in time to protect the woman who's going to give birth to the future leader. And you get two Terminators going back, one or Terminator-ish people going back to one to kill and one to protect, and then you've got the old mother of the leader of the rebellion and the old Terminator sent back to kill her. So, I mean, like, you know, I'm gonna watch it because I've got, you know, a Terminator head in my front room. But I think it's gonna be exactly what you want. It'll be the highest grossing Terminator movie since 3, probably. I think it's gonna beat Genesis, because good God.
Well, I think 3 was the one that started to really negatively impact it. And then right, after
but,
that
but that's the one everybody went to see because they right, were like,
exactly.
It's gonna be super good.
And then I think we got flooded too, was also a part of it. We got flooded with the series, we got flooded all this, because really 3 is not terrible. It's definitely probably the weakest link of the series. I don't know. Is it the fourth of the one with Christian Bale is actually pretty good.
Salvation. I really enjoy Salvation.
Yeah. Salvation is really good. It just doesn't fit with everything at right. that point.
They just made a movie in that world and you're like, oh, okay.
Exactly.
I guess. Thanks. Like, this is cool, but.
And it was at the point where, what's it, Sam Worthington was in everything.
Right, it's Sam Worthington, Christian Bale, Anton...
I don't even...
Elgin?
It's...
The guy from... The guy from the Star Trek reboots as well.
The one who passed away, right? Yeah, I can't remember his name, but yeah. I liked it. I think Salvation was really well. I think I get... Sam Worthington crammed down our throats in a lot of shitty action movies, but he's not that bad of an actor. And he was really well in that. And Christian Bale's obviously a really good actor, did a really good job. That was a good one. Terminator 3, I liked. I think where it was just a weak point is that it was just basically, it was the same thing over again, with just a weaker cast and weaker plot, right? But it was just another,
ride on Christiana Loken's
look
in that movie. And she's tremendously attractive woman. So
fun fact with that, I got to do the Terminator panel at Colorado Springs Comic Con, which featured Christiana Loken, Robert Patrick, and why am I blanking on his name right
Lance
now?
Hendrickson.
Thank you, Lance Hendrickson, who was brief in Terminator. More, it was a really cool conversation because he also played an AI entity, right, in Alien. So all three of them kind of had that perspective of questions. Yeah. But Christiana Loken did a phenomenal job. She got asked the question of how does she feel about Dark Fate essentially erasing her movie, right? Terminator 3 and some of the other ones. And her answer was great. She's like, this is a time traveling world with machines and all this stuff. Like, all of these exist, even if we say this thing doesn't exist or that, because every movie is about them going back in time and changing the future, right? So it's all gonna happen. She goes, just the fact that she's like, who's involved with it? It sounds great, and just keeps adding to the franchise. Terminator's always gonna be a franchise as long as it takes care of their fans. I'm excited for it too. Really great diplomatic answer, but she seemed genuine in it as well, and was a great way to put it. Like, don't be upset for those that are fans too of the Salvation and 3 and all that. It's like you said, it's that that's the whole point of these movies, to go back and change what is happening. So they were great though. Robert Patrick was absolutely hilarious. So we'll get into that. Oh, when we get to the CSC scene, I'll tell you a little bit, some stories regarding him. But Dark Fate trailer. So opening weekend for you, I mean, it's Terminator. So probably opening weekend anyways.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, whenever it opens here for sure. I don't know. I haven't checked if that's the same as in the States.
Yeah, we'll have to see. But in terms of your opening weekend, I guess.
Yeah, I'll be there opening weekend probably. Unless
I think so.
Or something.
I think so. I think it's it looks good enough. I think we got a lot of good stuff still coming out. The most interesting thing, and I will be the first one to admit it, when they first announced it, I was the one making all the jokes about how many Joker or Joker related movies were in production and coming out. Closer we got to it, the more I'm like, what are we doing? But the more and more information we got and the more we've seen, the more it's bought me in, or I have more buy-in. And most interesting now is that what's really telling about a movie, and we've talked about this a lot of times on the Nerdcast, if they do not let press see it ahead of time, or more importantly, there's an embargo to where they can't release the reviews until release date, it's probably a bad sign. We're still a month out. And this movie is now getting in front of press, and press is praising it like crazy. Talking to the level of Joaquin Phoenix being nominated for an Oscar, how crazy would that be of your two superhero characters to be nominated for an Oscar, would be the Joker twice, right? So there's that possibility. And talking about Todd Phillips being, again, let's remind you, he's responsible for the Hangover movies, right? Well, one of the two brothers responsible. Let's rewind this little bit back to the Farrelly brothers, who are responsible for movies like Dumb and Dumber, Stuck on You, and stuff like that. Oh, and yeah, one of them just won Best Picture last year with Green Book, his first dramatic movie. Yeah. So this is really interesting. The tide's changing in Hollywood and everything like that. And honestly, something we may, if it starts getting talked a lot about during award season, we can still go back to Black Panther being the one that helped kind of break this barrier a little bit too. So Marvel, how funny would it be though for Marvel to break that barrier and DC to be the one that steps in with DC's track record of being terrible so far? But well, I don't know. The new trailer looks fantastic.
Oh yeah, no, all the trailers have looked fantastic. The first one was just that, I guess, that initial teaser, and that's really what it was. I mean, it was just enough to make you go, they're doing something. I don't quite know what they're doing yet, but it's something, and I'm intrigued by it. Then that first trailer, then now this one, man, and it looks good. And Joaquin Phoenix looks, I mean, he's a fantastic actor, but I'm worried he's bought in a little too much like Heath did. We need to keep him on watch probably, but man, it looks really, really good. And that's a for sure first weekend.
With his shirt off, those scenes of like how he looks bruised up and so skinny, oh, yeah, to the point, he's such a good actor anyways, because he's such a weird person in the first place.
Right. Yeah.
But you talk about that, like, I'm sure Joaquin Phoenix is one of those guys that you could probably channel so much hurt and pain from in his real life because of what he's been through. Losing his brother, you know, is probably the most public thing of it. But there's been a lot of other stuff that's happened with Joaquin over the years that's been weird or dark or stuff like that, or depressed related. So yeah, I feel like he's going to capture this character very well. One thing though for me, and so Thomas Wayne, a younger Thomas Wayne, is in the newer trailer, or at least we're led to believe that he's identified now in like the IMDb credits. So what, I think it was Gotham, the series, I never watched Gotham, but it was a young Bruce Wayne, and a lot of these villains became kind of created already, including the Joker. So I just find it interesting how we're taking this approach now to where it's like these villains were here before Batman. Part of me is like, you know, because historically that's not the way it's been. So I'm kind of like, eh. But part of me is also like, it gives more reason for there to be a Batman, for him to grow up and become a Batman. So that's kind of interesting too. Just a thought on it.
Well, and you mentioned that, how funny would it be if DC is the one who wins the Oscar first with a comic book movie? And how doubly funny if it's one of their movies that's not in the DC extended universe. It's one of the side ones. They're like,
one that has no,
they're like, that one doesn't it, really exist really, but we're going to let you make it anyway. And
well, the problem is if that's the case, really, then all of a sudden it will be tied in, and they'll scatter to make everything tied into that movie. Then they'll make like the ultimate Gotham Rogues movie, like rush to it, like they did for Justice League, instead of letting individual movies happen.
Oh, you know, they're going to do something horrible too, where the Joker is like a title, and it gets passed from Joaquin Phoenix to Jared Leto, and that's why he's so different and weird. And you're like, oh, it's going to be just horribly contrived.
And for that note, I'm out. But
yeah, exactly,
that was terrible. But yeah, I'm really excited for this movie. It looks really interesting. I think the buildup's coming for it. We're looking early October release too, so we're about a month away. And again, you obviously don't always want, there's tons of movies out there that critics praise that I didn't fall in love with, vice versa too. But again, to just drive that point home, we are a month away and they're already showing it to critics and they're already praising it. That is a very telling sign for sure. So should be interesting to see, especially with, like we said already a number of times, the crowded fall that's just ahead of us, really, with starting next weekend with it, right? That's next weekend here.
I think I've got a,
you gotta wait. Oh,
no. No, it's this coming weekend. Yeah.
So you got it too.
That's exciting, yeah.
Right. So I think that's why we haven't seen anything at the box office the past couple of weeks outside of Angel Has Fallen or Good One, because everybody knows what happened a couple of years ago when it came out, and now they're pretty much just expecting that to happen again. So,
well, especially with that adult cast, and it's already gotten some reactions as well, and people are saying that Bill Hader is just absolutely killing it, which I think makes a lot of sense. But you got, what, James McAvoy, Jessica Chastain, right?
Yep.
Bill Skarsgård obviously reprising his role as Pennywise. I mean, that adult cast looks really good and match up pretty well with the younger folks that they had in that first movie. And so it's
just go, if you're not sure, just go watch that first teaser where Jessica Chastain goes and visits the old lady
It's one of my favorite scenes in the book, and definitely one of my favorite scenes in the, let's see, what was that? 88 miniseries, 86 miniseries,
somewhere around there. I don't
mid-80s.
I'm not as this is you. And if Tyler was here, but for me, I never read it, never anything. But interesting for sure. That scene is definitely horrifying, so in just the trailer alone.
Mm-hmm. Old people moving quick is not. It's uncomfortable. All right. I can't even think about it.
Old people alone are just uncomfortable. But anyways, so this weekend, we're recording over the weekend. We're releasing Tuesday. So just as we get this out, people are heading back home from Atlanta at Dragon Con. As I mentioned, Telluride Film Festival. Well, I mentioned to you earlier. We haven't actually mentioned on the air. Telluride Film Festival, of course, this weekend, which we didn't go to. Hopefully we'll be there soon. And interesting movie we'll talk about when we get back around to talk movies for the wrap up. Some weird things happening there. A lot of cool stuff. The weekend before, though, oddly, August has just been flooded with news, and it has been flooded with events. I didn't realize how many conventions were happening. So the weekend of August 23rd through 25th, we were at Colorado Springs Comic Con. Head on over to projectnerd.com. We have tons of content, still tons of content coming. We still got content coming from Omaha because we just have so much damn content right now. It's crazy. Anyways, so we had that going on while Wizard World was happening in Chicago, although it was pretty much a ghost town, as most people confirmed, as many of the Wizard World shows are. They had some great guests there too, so some interesting stuff. And then D23 was happening in California. D23 is obviously not a traditional convention. I think it was California. It might have been Florida. My bad. At one of their places. It's a tradition. So you can sign up. You can head over to D23.com and sign up to become a member. If you're a paid member, you get access to these types of events and stuff and first dibs at things as well as discounts. So D23 is really like the fan club thing. And so it's like their own little keynote thing. But since it's an entertainment company, it's less like an Apple keynote or a Google keynote, right? So they didn't, you know, they announced the whole slate for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the whole next slate, brought people up, but didn't really talk in detail about it. Didn't really go into Disney Plus at San Diego Comic-Con. I should mention now I'm referencing San Diego Comic-Con when I say all these things. But so D23 obviously was going to have that information, and it started with Disney Plus. Here were some of the things. So they announced a movie to drop, like with release, which has Anna Kendrick and Bill Hader, called Noelle. So not targeted for us here, but definitely those young Christmas movies, the Hallmark style stuff. What was super exciting was they immediately after that announced an ongoing series called The World According to Jeff Goldblum, where you just get good old awkward Jeff Goldblum being Jeff Goldblum. So that's fun.
He is a national treasure.
He is. And that's what it says on our website about it too. High School Musical, the musical, the series. So they had High School, the musical, the series. Then they did the actual musical. And now they're making a series of the musical, I guess, to put with Disney Plus. I don't know. But High School Musical was huge and spawned a number of careers for some people too. So that will be coming back. Lady and the Tramp. So it is the live action series. I'm going to tell somebody that because we were arguing about this yesterday. I was like, I'm pretty sure it's for Disney Plus. They're like, no, it's the movie. Trailer doesn't look that great for it, but interesting that they're doing some of that live action remake into their Disney Plus, much like they're doing with Marvel. And then, of course, they talked a little bit more on the MCU stuff, which I am just so ready for November to get this series. However, I am upset because Disney is going to take the old school approach, which DC Online, Universe Online is doing, where you get weekly releases of these episodes. You don't get the binge. They're trying to take away the Netflix binge culture. And I don't know if that's just, it gives them more time to produce, like you can roll it out and still be, you know, in production towards the later episodes, or if it's just another jab at Netflix, because I feel like Netflix is just getting gutted right now with all this Disney stuff. So we don't get all of The Mandalorian at once, which was another trailer we got, and head over to projectnerd.com and oh my gosh, dude. Oh my gosh, that trailer.
Oh right? Wow. And he's flying a Firefly class ship as well.
Like yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Which all that's Disney now, because it's Firefly.
Yeah, exactly. Is Fox, right. It was Fox property, right? Yeah. No. Oh my God. It looks so good. And the armor. Like, I mean, when you make a Mandalorian, you got to have the armor, and the armor is looks fantastic. Like, his suit is phenomenal.
The oh my gosh, the bounty hunters that you see in it. So some of the names that you may not recognize even, but for a brief moment in movies, or not movies at all, just from the books. One of my favorites, just because the IG part of it, the IG-88 gets a little seen in that trailer. You get the the spoken narrative dialogue over it, which is, it's wow. I about lost my mind watching that trailer. So the Mandalorian was that part that they talked about with Disney Plus. And then beyond Disney Plus, they released new footage, kind of a collective trailer almost for the whole Star Wars movie franchise, starting with the original trilogy to the prequel trilogy to this, and then giving us a little bit more footage of Rey and people losing their mind over Rey with the double, so Darth Maul style, double red lightsaber with her, with the hood up. She looks almost dark side there, kind of teasing at something. Are we being misled, or is something going to happen? And wow, just they killed it. Disney killed it at D23. And then what people were waiting for was more information past the newer, you know, phase four, I think it is what's coming up for Marvel. So beyond that, and they did give us the Black Panther release date finally. So Black Panther 2 is in starting pre-production, and it will be released May 6th of 2022. So they didn't capture the February date again for Black History Month.
Yeah, let that one slide, I guess.
I mean, it's that last weekend in May, right before June, you know.
Usually that's their tentpole weekend.
Yeah, right.
That's the Avengers weekend.
Well, that's going to be, I'm sure, if I think of the dates, if it's the 22nd, that'll probably also be Memorial Day weekend. So you get the extra holiday day as well. So interesting. So that's moving. Obviously, you have Coogler back to direct, and then the same cast. I'll be interested to see who cameos in it, because I know Endgame kind of left us in shambles. But before Endgame, before Infinity War, you had a number of key players hanging out in Wakanda. And then Wakanda was ground zero for the battleground for Infinity War. So be interesting to see where everything's at when we get back to Wakanda and Black Panther and everything. With the phase four announcements, though, which already has the Eternals already had an incredible cast. And when they announced Kit Harington was going to be involved in a Marvel movie, my first go, he's going to be part of the Eternals. That's where he's got to fit. And that's exactly where he's going to be. So he'll be the Black Knight in the Eternals. Black Knight for Game of Thrones fans. I mean,
It's too easy.
Too easy. All right. So those are some of the big D23 announcements. Of course, we have a cosplay gallery up on the site too.
Did they, D23, was that when they announced the combined Disney Plus, Hulu, ESPN Plus package?
No, it's been announced for a while. Yeah. I don't know if they officially announced it the weekend before, or if it was, but it was, it's been, I think, really since maybe San Diego. I think it was close.
Everybody knew it was going to happen, but I feel like we got something recently about that price point.
They did the D23. You could sign up through Labor Day weekend. So if you're listening to this, you're already too late. Up through Labor Day weekend, you could sign up for 3 years. If you paid 3 years up front, I think the total cost was like $140. So it cost you about $4 a month. However, I didn't sign up for it because if you were to add commercial Hulu and ESPN Plus, you're still paying about the same month you would be if you're going to do that bundle. So I just let it be, and I'm going to do the bundle because my 99 cents a month Hulu is up in December anyways. So I'm going to have to renew anyways. So I was like, I'm just going to do the big bundle. And for me, I get the bonus of ESPN Plus for free, which for me, I get, you know, some soccer, but more importantly, Wednesday and Sunday night baseball. Because on MLB TV, which I have, I can't ever catch the Sunday night baseball games. And when the team is playing like Houston's playing, they get some of those primetime games. So I miss some of those games. So I'm going to go with that, see some of that stuff. So it'll be interesting. I think, what was it? Around the $13 range for all three?
Super reasonable price. Yeah. $12.99 or something like that. Like, how much is Netflix per month? $12.99. Cool. I'll tell you what, we'll give you three services for that price.
And the big pushback is, why is there no bundle offer without commercials on Hulu? And I didn't realize this, but Disney was pretty clear about it, at least to their stakeholders and stuff like that. they make a lot of damn money off those commercials on Hulu, apparently. They make a lot of money, which is weird because I only see like the same three commercials over and over again when I watch Hulu. It's like the same one.
It's like a Google ad, though. Every time they play it, they get a little more money from the people who bought it.
That's probably how it works. But they make bank on it. And with Hulu now getting some exclusive series, the Orville's moving over there exclusively this winter. You have certain Marvel series that are starting there. Runaways will be renewed, things like that. Yeah, I think they want to get that commercial money for sure. Well, while that was all being announced in over at Disney, we were hanging out again at Colorado Springs Comic Con. Again, head over to projectnerd.com, check out all the coverage, interviews. We did live streams. You can head over to our Twitch, I think, watch some of the old videos. I see the look on your face. You already know what we can talk about here? Who I got to talk to?
It's so unfair. Like, I go to so many conventions when I'm living in the States, and you know, there's no Terminator panel at any of those. And again, have a Terminator bust in my front room, and there's no Robert Englund at any of these. And I think love is a perfectly strong enough word for my obsession with A Nightmare on Elm Street. I don't think I've actually told this story on the podcast before. My uncle, who's not that much older than me, let me watch it when I was 5 years old. And I've done the math. I think he was like 21 or 22 at the time. I had an older cousin and my older sister. They were in early teenage years and they wanted to watch it. And so everybody thought it would be okay. And I watched it and I woke up that night and he let me sleep in the bed with him and my aunt. And I was so terrified. I woke up and threw up all over everything. Like I was that scared. Like it literally made me vomit. And I had nightmares about Freddy Krueger until I was like 13. And then once the switch happened, it became my favorite horror movie because it traumatized me for, at that point in time, most of my life. And so it's just really, so you can tell your story now.
Well, that's,
and I'll just sit over here and pout.
Sit over there and pout. I was going to say, actually, we have done one convention before with Robert Englund. He was at C2E2 one of the years. It was the year you almost spent you wanted to spend like $600, $700 for the actual
on the glove.
Signed by him. And he was there. So I don't remember if it was already signed by him or they were promoting it as like, take it over there and get it signed by him. But I knew he was there. The thing is with C2E2 and no negative thing here. I love C2E2. We all do. We love the repop shows. We just don't get as good access to the guests as we do at some of these other shows. And we're working on that. We're talking with them a little bit, but they're a big, big show. With Colorado Springs, we have a great partnership where part of the agreement of us coming out is doing a lot of this stuff. So Friday evening, we were capturing the bumps for the convention. And they're like, well, why don't we do a quick interview with Robert Englund over there? So I went over there and I was like, guys, you have to take this picture real quick because I have to send it to Adam immediately. So I posted on Facebook and tagged Adam. And by the time he woke up, or I don't even think he woke up, it may have still been that night.
Yeah.
Either way, since you're a very different time zone, there was the comment of son of a dot, dot, dot. And then your wife even commented on it and stuff. It was great. So,
oh yeah, she knows.
So it was pretty cool. Robert Englund was a super great guy, super nice guy to talk to. Really enjoyed those few minutes with him.
He's so cool. It's so amazing. Oh my God.
So I don't know if this is going to make you feel better. And I probably shouldn't talk about it on air because it's not a good thing to promote ourselves with. The tech team messed up the audio for that interview. So we don't even have the interview. And what sucks is they're like, he has five minutes to do that. So I kept trying to wrap it up like after 5 minutes and he just kept going. He just wanted to talk. So we sat over there for like 13 minutes. So we had a 13 minute video interview and the audio doesn't pan out. We'll be able to use some of that video at least for B-roll, but great guy was promoting some of the stuff he did. He talked about his love. He was so he was at a bar that he'd hang out trying to pick up the bartender when he was younger. And he said it was the horror movie type stuff. It was just this really goth style bar and they were showing him on the screens and it just kept capturing his attention. And he fell in love with the makeup artist stuff is what he was really into, the special effects and makeup. And that's what drove him to do it. And then we talked a little bit about in the interview of him, you know, how long it took for the Freddy Krueger makeup, how it improved over the time and everything like that. He was a super nice guy. Robert Patrick, though, might have stole the show for the weekend. He was hilarious. So everybody who listens to our podcast network is familiar with I'm Not Famous and Carrie on that series. not a very big geek culture person. This is a new world to him, and which I think makes it kind of fun. It makes it, him ask great questions to guests, also makes it fun to like talk about some of this stuff, you know, from an outside perspective. So I mean, everybody's seen this movie that I'm going to reference here, but he doesn't obviously put it two and two. So he's talking to Robert Patrick. So Robert Patrick starts telling him a story. So Carrie's obsessed with watches, and Robert Patrick has a Pepsi bezel. I know all the terms now for this stuff because it's a Pepsi bezel, like $10,000 watch that he's wearing. And Carrie's messing with him about trade. And he's like, I can't trade it for you. He goes, my dad was a prisoner of war. He had to sneak this watch up his ass to get back with it and all this stuff. And but he doesn't finish the story because there's women present. Robert Patrick's like this hilarious dude, but ultimate gentleman all weekend too, like ultimate gentleman. And so he doesn't finish the story. So Carrie's over there. He's like, I know where the story was going. I know what he was about to tell me. I want to hear the rest of the story. So I go back over there with them when we go to get his bump, which he recorded as, I think, a Las Vegas Comic-Con in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, as opposed to the Colorado Springs one. But he finishes the story and basically says that. So the whole weekend we're like, Carrie, that's you, like, you know, that's like Pulp Fiction, right? And he's like, nah, man, it seems so real, seems so real. So I'm about to do the panel with him, and I reference it to him, Robert Patrick. He goes, yeah, I told him the Pulp Fiction story, and he totally bought it. He's like, totally bought it. Oh, great. But him and Lance on stage. So Lance is at his booth, and Robert Patrick gets a hold of a motorcycle helmet, puts it over his head so you can't even tell who it is, and just stands, you know, maybe about 20, 30 feet back from Lance's booth and just starts flipping him off. Just like flipping him up. So Lance starts asking like his handlers, like, who is that? What is going on? Starts getting really angry. So starts yelling and flipping him off back, like at him across the convention. So by the time they get to the panel, Robert Patrick's like, I don't know what's up with you, Lance. You were like super nice yesterday, and now you're like all angry about stuff today. What happened? Like, so, but they were, oh gosh, the stories with just them two was fantastic. They were great. Wonderful panel. Lance was a, yeah, he didn't hold anything back. He straight told like one guy, like, maybe you shouldn't consider acting, like some guy in the audience and stuff. But,
oh man.
The one that might've installed it. We got a typical Shatner moment where poor Andy with Movie Camp, who's a good friend of Project Nerd. Movie Camp is ran by Andy and Elijah down there in the Springs. He only reason he came out to that con, he's got a new baby. So he wasn't really coming, but he was going to come out for the hour to get to do the Shatner panel. Shatner, no heads up, no nothing, goes in there, says no, you give me a, we're not doing Q&A, we're not doing anything, I don't need anybody else on stage, comes out on stage, sits in the chair and just tells a story for 40 minutes. And we're like, oh, Andy, this is terrible. So the rest of the weekend we're like, oh, Andy, we totally caught that panel, you did such a great job, you asked such great questions, like so that poor guy got left. So Shatner kind of did his thing, which sucks because leading up to it, we've done, gosh, I don't know how many shows with Shatner now, we've seen him at a number of cons. A lot of people call him a jerk. The few times we've had interactions with him, I don't feel like he's a huge jerk. He's just a very arrogant, loves himself type person. But he definitely pulled the jerk card on this one. And I tried to defend him leading up to it. And
the funny thing is what the Star Trek conventions, like for what, during the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, like they were bigger than comic conventions, right? Like they had more people going to those specifically to see the Star Trek cast, especially if you could get a bunch of them together. Like they were a huge draw. And so I mean, you know, it's a little bit deserved. He could be nicer about it, but I'll give the man his due.
So he had that moment, but what blew me away was Howard Chaykin panel. So Howard Chaykin is a very well-known comic book creator, went on to do storyboarding and working in television so he could get his benefits, his eventual benefits as being part of a guild, right? So the comics, and we are good friends over at Worst Comic Podcast Ever, work very closely with the Heroes Alliance to try to have benefits for post-career comic book creators and artists, because they don't have like the Screen Actors Guild or produce, you know, those things that are basically unions that save funds for these people. Same with sports, you know, the players associations will build up these funds and give them medical and retirement and everything. So he talks all about that, great smart, but he held nothing back. And that is one of our panels, which part of the rights is for us to be allowed to release those as podcasts. And we will be releasing the Howard Chaykin one where he calls out Neil Gaiman. He says when people ask him what comics is he interested in today's world, he says they're all shit. He doesn't like any of them and nobody's being creative and original. He talks about when artists come up to ask him at cons what they think. And he's like, do you want for me to just say I like it, or do you want the real answer? Because I'm going to tell you how you're not going to make it. And all this guy's, he was in full, and he at one point goes, yeah, I get it. I'm an asshole, but better an asshole than a creep. Like, that's what he said.
Oh,
like, damn, dude. He held nothing
wrong back. In that case.
But he rolled, he talked about The Boys, how he couldn't read the comic because it was shit. And how, and I'm quoting him, I love The Boys comic and I love the show. And he talked about how the main character, he's like, I love Carl Urban normally, but the main characters are boring as hell on the show, but I really like the Homelander stuff. But then they have Neil Gaiman. He's like, well, I just, that's nothing he writes interests me. He goes, I tried with American Gods and it sucked and all this. Like, he goes, but I keep hearing good things about Good Omens. Maybe I'll give it a shot. And it's like, dude, man, he's just like, you don't go after, you don't say Neil Gaiman. It's Neil Gaiman. He gets. So again, be on the lookout for that. We'll probably put it out as a Diving Deep or a Nerdcast in the future. Howard Chaykin one. I also got to do the Graham Nolan and Kevin Nolan. Graham Nolan and Mike Nolan, excuse me, Kevin Nolan, Batman creator. So Graham Nolan, of course, best known for inventing or creating Bane. He is the father of Bane. And got to talk to them a lot about Batman. And then obviously one of my highlights of the weekend was, again, hanging out with Kevin Eastman, who I love very much so. We did the Ninja Turtles panel. Him and his wife are great people. If you ever get the chance to meet them, we always say it. We've met them at a few shows now too. And I love just getting to do the panel with him. And we had Sarah over at the G-Spot podcast. She did the Marvel panel, the first Power Rangers panel, where they gave a young kid who's a Power Ranger obsessed young kid who is a game streamer and everything, who's in a wheelchair with a disability. They gave him a Zord wheelchair. That was incredible. So they had the Power Ranger on panel on Saturday, which were the newer Power Rangers, and Sarah hosted it and then handed it over to the kid to ask a few questions. And then Austin St. John, who we've met, really liked that guy, the original Red Power Ranger, comes in and says, "Hey, I got a question for you." And then they bring in the chair, and it was, yeah, I definitely cried in the back of the room at that moment. Aww. And it was awesome. And then Ethan over at Meeple Skills got to do the other Power Rangers panel with Austin St. John and David Yost, the original Blue Ranger. Bob knocked out a couple panels. He got to do the Walking Dead panel, which all the years Bob has been with us, this was Bob's first panel. I just want to put that out there. And Bob.
Yay, Bob.
So fantastic. He thought it was terrible. But we're like, Bob, you don't know. You're
everything he does.
His fanboy energy just fed into the crowd, and it was so great. And he was so excited to be up there on stage with them, and he did such a fantastic job. And Ethan's got that stage personality too. He's got it good. So our whole team killed it. Really cool to see just Project Nerd represented across the board there. And then is obviously love Eric over at Bitfaced, another friend of the brand, great gaming podcast, and he's the one who got to do Robert Englund. He was super excited about that. However, to wrap it all up, the most impressive panel for me that weekend, Kevin Sorbo, man. Kevin Sorbo. And I'm going to put it out there.
I like it.
There's been recent tweets, recent stuff regarding him, political and social situations that have put him on the edge there to where it wasn't a very popular panel in terms of panelist picks, I guess would be the way to put it. However, the room was full and people were excited and he did fantastic and he was hilarious. He was absolutely wonderful. We opened it up. I always like to ask a weird question at first to kind of open it up. So I asked him if he'd rather like to fight 10 2-foot Herculeses or 2 10-foot Herculeses. And then I asked the crowd, is Herculeses the right for plural? So he decided it's actually called a pod of Herculi.
Herculi. I'm on board with that.
And I will not give away his answer because it will be a future podcast. But he talked about how Hercules was doing that show was the best dating service he ever had. And that's how he met his wife. Because they would just send him a new beautiful woman about every 2 weeks to work with him. He talked about his travel. It did come to about his new family movies in regards to Christianity and stuff. And he did a great answer there about how people just be good people. Like, it doesn't matter what you believe. Like, he goes, I got friends of all kinds of faiths and just be good people. He goes, all movies have motives. These ones just want to be good family movies. If there's faith-based to it, great. Really good, really cool guy, really nice guy. I actually really enjoyed my time up on stage with him. Really cool. So definitely be on the lookout for all of those name drops I just did. And the reason I want to name drop them is because, again, right here on the Project Nerd podcast feed, where you catch future episodes of the Nerdcast brought to you by Geek Garage, as well as Diving Deep, you're going to catch a lot of those panels. Great episodes. And then, of course, I guess we'll let the G-Spot and Meeple Skills people have their own. We'll let them have those one. But anyways, new Meeple Skills next week as well, or this week, excuse me. We've got new The Weekly Geekly and High Five from our wonderful crew out there. We have the G-Spot this week. That's the one that's this week, because G-Spot and I'm Not Famous alternating every week. And I'm Not Famous comes back next week with new episodes from the Iron Lion down in Colorado Springs. And of course, right here, we're on the Nerdcast. This is episode 203. That's just a quick recap. I'm doing that because we're getting low on time, but I did have two more things, quick movie things we want to talk about. I think we loved, you know, all of us. We talked about Donnie Darko. I think it's unanimous amongst the Nerdcast people, all four of us. Donnie Darko's great.
Good movie. Southland Tales.
Southland Tales is actually really also enjoyed good. By us as yeah. well. Yeah, the group. It's not as strong as Donnie Darko. I think we're pretty unanimous, too, on The Box being a great concept, maybe not as strong as a delivery. Like, really like the idea of it, though, you know? And then, what, there was one more he did that was just, you know, I can't remember.
Frank Langella in that role. The other one, I'll pull it up. I can't remember.
Either. So while you're doing that, his style would be great for this. So when I saw this headline, I was really kind of excited for it. We'll have to see what Richard Kelly style movie we get. But Richard Kelly is actually penning the script and working on a movie about Rod Serling, who is the creator of the Twilight Zone. So as the Twilight Zone kind of comes back into the spotlight, doing a little bit of a biopic about the guy who started it. I feel like it's hard if Richard Kelly's a hit is hit on this and not miss. I feel like we could get a really unique and good movie that would fit for this type of character.
So you got a couple of things. So he writer, producer, director. He does a little bit of everything. So writing wise, he wrote S. Darko. So
that's right. Which I haven't seen that one. The new
pseudo follow up. I mean, you say new. He hasn't made a movie since like 2010.
S. Darko is that old?
Yeah, that was 2009.
Wow, was it that long ago?
Also did the screenplay and story for Domino.
Oh.
With
Yeah, I actually enjoy that. Keira Knightley.
Yeah, that's the one.
I like that movie.
Mm-hmm. He produced Operation Endgame in 2010. I think that's Zach Galifianakis.
Right, the comedy action.
Yeah. Produced I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell.
That was fairly well received.
Mm-hmm. Produced World's Greatest Dad.
Oh, yes, he does work closely with Bobcat.
Yeah.
Bobcat, actually, I just listened to a podcast with Bobcat Goldthwait on it, and he talked a little bit about Richard Kelly.
Yeah.
So in terms of him having full creative control, though, I think all of us can agree, even with liking Southland Tales, that like his career's kind of gone backwards in terms of like he hit gold the first time.
I mean, yeah. I don't know how you follow up Donnie Darko.
Never went to it. But, you know, then if so, we'll be interested to see what happens here with this movie. I'm sure you're excited, though, because you're getting another Twilight Zone related thing.
I was going to say, do we actually say what it is? Richard Kelly's making a Twilight Zone movie? I feel like we definitely buried the lead on that one.
No, I said it while you were looking. I brought it up. Okay. Yeah. It's about Rod Serling, the creator of the Twilight Zone. Yeah, okay. Right. So the other big thing... of course, is would have been we would have been at Telluride Film Festival this past weekend. Adam Sandler. So Adam Sandler has really gone to his big contract with Netflix, making the kind of family friendly. And to be a lot of the movies sucked. Let's be honest, a lot of them sucked. But recently, the romantic comedy ones he did, especially that one with Jennifer Aniston, it was super well received and it was pretty funny. It was nice. It was light. It was a good, you know, decent movie. So really interesting to see that he's doing an independent feature that's out now at the film festivals called Uncut Gems. And it's from Josh and Benny Safdie. And what's interesting is they're comparing it more to the punk drunk love style of him. And it involves drugs, very dark humor and stuff like that. Adam Sandler was phenomenal at Punch Drunk Love. So when I'm seeing this, it's really piqued my interest. I need to go find it.
We're thinking Punch Drunk Love and was it Funny People?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Funny People. Really Funny good. People also had more of the like. It's the what's his name?
Seth Rogen.
No, well, Seth Rogen's
Jonah
Hill. The guy who runs all that stuff.
Judd Apatow.
Thank you, the Judd Apatow. It still had the Judd Apatow influence on it. Where Punch Drunk Love was Anderson, right? Yeah, so it's a very. Anderson is vague because there's like a million Anderson filmmakers.
I was kind of shaking my head, guys. I'm like, is he meaning Wes Anderson? Because then my head right. No. Yeah. Yeah.
Paul Anderson. So he did There Will Be Blood and a few of those other big movies too, like that are really dramatic and I don't want to say slow paced, but very slow.
They're weird. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's not a traditional movie.
They're good movies, but they're, yeah. So I'm really interested to see how this turns out. Again, it's called Uncut Gems. It's hitting the film festivals. Martin Scorsese has called it, let me see, he executive produced it, but called it very ambitious as well. You get Idina Menzel in it, who most people remember from The Folly with John Travolta at the Academy Awards, but she is the vocalist for, we were just talking about Elsa, Frozen. And then you get a number of other characters in it. And the stuff I'm reading in this article, there's Terrence Malick mentioned, there's Punch Drunk Love mentioned, there's a lot of stuff that makes this really interesting, and it's supposed to be a dark comedy. So I'm really curious about it. So I wanted to bring that up. And then to close, before we go into final thoughts, obviously this past week, Tyler would be mad if we didn't mention it. Sorry, Tyler, you're at work, but World of Warcraft Classic dropped. And
oh boy,
everybody on the first day was met with real memories of it by having to wait for the servers to clear up. And so
they, really long times, like yeah, 6, 7, 8 hour
right
times to get on their servers.
Memories. All right, let's wrap us up. We're at time. What do you got for a final thought for us this week, Adam?
Final thought. We didn't mention it. I feel like there's been a new Irishman trailer since the last time we met and chatted.
Has there?
I don't know. I saw one recently and it looks damn phenomenal. So, I mean, we had the initial one, which didn't really have anything in it. And then you get the one with Pesci and Pacino.
Right. And it's over at projectnerd.com.
Yeah. Yeah. We got it on the site. Man, that damn thing looks good. I am 100%. I mean, I was already on board. When you name the cast and the director, you're like, I'm going to see that movie. But man, that it looks good. And it getting Scorsese back to his mobster roots. I'm on board. Like
the right people in it too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, who do you want to work with? And like, I'm making a mobster movie. I want Joe Pesci. I want Robert De Niro. And I can have anybody? Oh yeah, give me Al Pacino this time too. Let's go ahead and just do it all. Okay, sure. No problem.
Right. What's key here, which people didn't, I don't think they forget about this because of how many mob movies in there are. This is the first time De Niro and Pacino will be directed under Scorsese together. I love them together in Heat, which was a Michael Mann film. Another director who peaked way too early. them two together under Scorsese. Gosh. I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited. So yeah, that trailer did drop earlier this month. Maybe it's been a weird month of back and forth. I think we did meet. We just probably didn't cover on it because it was a couple weeks afterwards when the four of us got together 2 weeks ago. Obviously, last week's episode 202 was our episode from Colorado Springs Comic Con. A lot of inappropriate things, a lot of comedy in there. So have fun with that one. Again, we're past 200. But before we head out, my final thought for the week is it's time to get basic, man. It's a pumpkin spice season, guys. I am one that is excited about pumpkin spice, and we've got it rolling over here. And for the first time ever, they had it in time for my birthday, which is key because if you are a Starbucks member, you get a free drink on your birthday. So I got a free one. Super excited. Don't shake your head at me.
I don't think they have that here.
What? They don't have pumpkin spice over there?
I don't think it's I mean, maybe they do. Like they haven't advertised it. I haven't, you know, there's a Starbucks in town. We go by it to go to the movie theater. And, you know, I'm sure your Starbucks has it plastered all over everywhere, right?
I don't know, to be honest. It's because I've gotten, I use the app now because I'm a millennial for sure. I am a basic millennial. So I use the app and order them. Well, because you get points when you order the app. So I've already earned like two free ones that I'll get to eat by this like fall. So yeah, not from just this, from my lifetime of using the app. So not just like in the past week. I have not drank that much pumpkin spice coffee. but it's, and it's cool with the balance because on the app I said, okay, I'm putting this much on there. So I am allowed through the end of October to get this many drinks. And then I'm not using any more money. So that also helps me budget. Anyways, pumpkin spice, earliest it's ever been. The stuff's starting to roll out in stores too. Those that aren't crazy about pumpkin spice, it's apple cider season. We get pumpkin bread, maybe fall weather around the corner. Adam's already got it. We're going to be 96 degrees today. So we're not getting it yet.
High of 67.
Yeah.
Low of 42. Oh, it's going to be amazing. I'm at my window open tonight.
There you go. Excited, you guys. So it is fall. All the things that come with fall are coming as well. So that's it. Episode 203 of the Nerdcast by Project Nerd, brought to you, of course, by Geek Garage. Once again, head on over to geek-garage.com. Love that hyphen. Just like projectnerd.com has the hyphen in between the words. You got to use it. You can check them out. It's where all the geek cars live, including now the Rickmobile, which we saw last week and is now a proud member of the Geek Garage. Pretty cool because it's an online database of geeky movie style cars and everything like that. And people can also, that own the vehicles can also choose to be reached through that site so you can book them and stuff like that. So pretty awesome little service. They have enough faith in us and our podcast that they're going to be with us for a year. So stay tuned. Geek Garage will be talking about them for next year. Give you some insights onto what they're doing, some of their events and everything like that. And of course, soon with the website redesign, you'll be head over there, see the banner on the website. You can click over to them through that way, or once again, geek-garage.com. We are heading out though next week. I don't know. You guys either are going to get together or it's going to be Colorado Springs Comic Con episode. I got my son's birthday, so I will definitely not be in that one. So we'll either have some more fun stuff out of Colorado Springs or we'll see what happens. Maybe Tyler and Adam can get together and talk it the whole time. I don't know. We'll see. But
oh my God. There you go. Yes, please.
That's it for episode 203. Till next time, same nerd time, same nerd channel.
Hey, Pro Nerds, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like the Nerdcast and other amazing Project Nerd podcasts, please go give us a subscription, a like, a review, wherever you find us, as we need your love and support to continue making awesome content. Next week, we'll be back with another great episode of Nerdcast, as well as other original Project Nerd podcasts.